Welcome to Illumination by Modern Campus, the leading podcast focused on transformation and change in the higher education space. On today's episode, we speak with Hillary Culbertson, who is Senior Director of Marketing and Communications in the Office of Innovation and Lifetime Education at Duke University. Hillary and podcast co-founder Amadou Lawalia discuss the rebranding process of Duke's division and the smooth transition required to embrace lifelong learning.
Hillary Culbertson, welcome to the Illumination Podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Well, you know, you guys are in a really, really interesting spot at Duke. So the Learning Innovation and Continuing Studies division is rebranded. You're now called the Innovation and Lifetime Education. Why did the division want to pursue this rebrand?
Well, we had both internal factors and external factors driving this decision for us. Internally, as you mentioned, we had a merger of two groups that had been on campus a long time. One is Learning Innovation, which primarily supports teaching and learning on campus, as well as some online learning for both traditional undergraduate and graduate students, as well as faculty. And then the other group was our Continuing Studies group, which is a broad portfolio of offerings that serve learners from pre-college all the way through post-career. So as part of this merger, we wanted to think about how our groups work together and how our name can inform and describe that. And, you know, thinking about any kind of joining of two groups, the whole point is finding ways that similar work was being done and finding new ways to work together and learn from each other. And so we wanted to do that with our name as well. Thinking about these groups, our Learning Innovation group had strong ties with campus faculty and administrators, and we have consultants and instructional designers on that team who are highly respected and highly engaged on campus with a lot of different people. So we felt like that brand was really strong and the name was still really accurate to the work that they're doing. And then on the continuing study side, strong reputation, but moderately siloed traditional work on campus, working more in parallel with campus. So we had more room for change there. So that was kind of our internal story. And then obviously you always want to think about the external story as well. So, you know, as we all know, there's been some naming trends in continuing education in general. My team has all been working in this professional continuing and online education space for a while now. So we've been monitoring these general trends, and we wanted that to be taken into account in this change. And we also wanted to engage with new ideas about lifetime education, like the idea of the 60-year curriculum, education across a lifetime from pre-college to post-career. So that was kind of to sum up all the backstory about this big change for us.
You know, that's so fascinating. And there's a lot to unpack there, which we'll kind of get into around the process of you know, the considerations around how you got to lifetime, especially. It is interesting because I think we live in this space where we're so often defined by what we aren't. You know, you think non-traditional, non-degree.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to have a unit with sort of the size and scope of Duke University that's really focused in on being proactive, what we are. I do want to follow up, though, on the internal component that you mentioned around, you know, bringing two units together and trying to create this sort of shared identity to guide that work. To your mind, how important is a unified, a new brand, a new name when you're facilitating a merger of two units into a single department? How important is that to creating sort of a shared vision and a shared identity around everybody about, you know, what you're aiming at, what you're trying to accomplish?
Absolutely essential. I agree completely that, you know, so much of when you're going through a reorg or a merger like this, so much of how you talk about your ideas, even when they're overlapping and shared ideas, is through these two legacy groups. And so obviously that's inescapable. We all have a history that informs where we are today. But at the same time, we need to have a shared vocabulary for our present and our future. And so for us, a new name that made us one organization and gave us kind of a fresh start to move forward together was really important for our culture.
Absolutely. So, looking to the rebranding in terms of remaining sort of relevant and proactive, how is this rebranding going to support the positioning of Duke University in a higher education marketplace that's changing rapidly and that's sort of establishing a new reality for its next era?
Well, whenever you're doing a rebrand, you want to future-proof as much as possible. And I don't have a crystal ball, but I hope that the work that we are doing together is going to last. And I think for us, what made selecting a name so tricky was also what made it flexible. So our team does so much for so many audiences. The same group for Duke University manages our campus LMS. It helps with pedagogical research and consulting, instructional design, lifetime education program administration, just a really wide array of different skill sets and types of roles for campus. And so our hope is that a name that can communicate all of that can remain relevant for a long time.
Absolutely. So there's an extent to which the rebrand is also establishing an identity for the division as an internal partner as well as an external actor.
I think that's how I approach this kind of PCO space in general is like you have partnerships on campus that are just as important as your relationship with learners. And you have to be a great advocate and a great partner for the work that's being done across campus, whether we manage it or not, while also always keeping the learner centered.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit more about how you guys landed at the name that you did. I mean, what goes into this process? Can you take us behind the scenes a little bit?
Yeah, of course. we went in a few different directions and then tried to pull it all together. We started with a competitive analysis of our peers, as well as leaders, and innovators in the general PCO space. We also did a lot of work on my team thinking about our brand personality and our brand attitude. And I feel like this step was really key for our situation as a newly merged organization. Because it really allowed us to understand both of our legacy groups and their strengths. So, as we thought about the words and ideas that resonated with those strengths, we were able to better understand which ideas were descriptive of both groups and find the overlap and the shared expertise, shared culture, shared vision, and priorities of these two groups and carry that forward as foundational to our ongoing identity. We also thought about how to describe our relationship with learners and with teachers, both of which are at the heart of what we do. And we also thought about recurring metaphors that our groups and our leaders use. We have some themes and illustrations that we use fairly often to describe how we serve non-traditional learners and how our groups make sense together. So a couple of those are, we have a braided river metaphor that we use to illustrate a lifelong journey in and out of formal education throughout their lifetime, and kind of like both kind of a river, but also kind of a woven tapestry of what your life looks like and how you may engage with learning and with education throughout your life. And we also have a bridge metaphor that we used, how our groups support learners all the way from pre-college to traditional undergraduate and graduate education and through to their career and beyond. And so these metaphors actually ended up becoming a beautiful part of not just our brand identity and descriptors, but also our visual brand when we rolled out our new name and our new brand identity.
So, what goes into executing a rebrand? I mean, for folks that might be thinking about taking this approach, what are some of the key steps? Who in the team needed to be involved? How did you get senior leadership buy-in? I'm just curious about the process.
Well, we started once we had kind of thought through what we wanted to do and what we thought made sense to both our group internally, but also stakeholders across campus. We started with some of those most important stakeholders and made sure that we're working in coordination with the provost office, which we're a part of, as well as the vice president of marketing and communications at Duke, to make sure that we were aligned with larger strategy. And then once we had a name approved, we wanted to make sure that we released not just a name, but a brand. So we worked with a designer to create a visual identity to represent all that we were trying to communicate with this new name. And that became a core part of the rollout, right? So we created a branded toolkit for all of our staff to use for all of the programs and services that we have, so that we have a shared template for things like logos, PowerPoint, letterheads, Zoom backgrounds, just to make sure that the basics are always covered and always easy to find. We also put a lot of thought into the learner's experience and making sure that it was continuous and as confusion-free as we could make it. So this was especially important for our websites and for our Destiny One implementation, making sure that we had updated our logo and our name everywhere, but also contextualizing it as much as we could and providing transition language so that the learner was never caught off guard or confused about who they were communicating with, why they were getting an email from a new entity that they'd never talked to before, and just trying to smooth that transition as much as we could.
It's funny, you mentioned Destiny One, and that product line also is going through a rebrand right now to Modern Campus Lifelong Learning. So there's some interesting parallels here in the university space and the vendor space.
It really is. And our organization that we work with, Upsea, just went through some branding
That's
work.
right.
I feel like it's in the air right now. Like we're all just trying to make sure that we're speaking about things in a way that speaks to both now and looking ahead. It's actually very on topic, because the only other thing I wanted to share about our execution was that the timing worked out that we were able to launch our new brand with a holiday card, and specifically a New Year's card. So we felt like that was kind of a nice way to use a little pun. We said, we're celebrating a brand new year. But it also, I feel like there's a few times when you can really like just lean into the cheesy, but we did. And I think it worked. It also gave us a chance to talk a little bit about, past, present, and future. And so as we're communicating with some of our partners and colleagues about our new name, it gives us a chance to talk about how much their partnership means to us and how they've been a part of our work when we had our old names, and we value their partnership as we transition to this new phase. So it worked out really well.
Well, and it's interesting too. I mean, I'm curious, generally speaking, within divisions that have deep roots, it can be very difficult to get folks thinking in a new frame and really considering what a new brand, a new identity, a new focus can do for them. I mean, how are you generating buy-in for the new brand among folks working within innovation and lifetime education?
Well, I think we're lucky because we really do have such a good culture, which is just a great place to start from in a situation like this, because change can be scary for people. But I think we have a shockingly receptive to change organization, and that's a huge strength for us. And I think, it's actually Learning Innovation and Lifetime Education is our new brand. So for the learning innovation side of the house, they didn't really experience a change except for making sure to talk about things more collectively. So that's helpful for their transition. But we were also fortunate that our continuing studies group was really ready for this next chapter, sees the opportunity for working in new ways with new partners. And so I think for them, it was kind of just about starting the next chapter and having a good way to talk about that.
Now, we can't have a conversation about marketing communications in 2024 without talking about metrics. So as you think about this rebrand, I mean, what are some of the data points that you and your team are keeping an eye on to really assess the impact of the rebrand?
Well, and that's a great question. It's always about metrics. We're
For better or
monitoring
for
all of it.
worse.
It really is. Mostly better, I think. Mostly better. Sometimes the creative writer in me, thinks, can't we just like talk about our feelings more? But definitely the data helps inform everything. And And so we're monitoring all of our normal analytics, and we'll see what those data show, if anything. I think for us, this renaming and rebranding is primarily campus facing for now, and how we talk about our unit within Duke. So what was most important for us at this phase was maintaining long-standing relationships and minimizing any confusion during this naming transition. We do eventually have plans to create a new learner-facing brand or suite of resources. And I think since that would be external facing, it would have much greater impact on other measurable factors like campaign performance or revenue. So for that rollout, we'll monitor our KPIs much more carefully. But for this one, it was mostly about user experience, you could say.
Absolutely. Well, Hillary, I mean, that basically does it on my end, which signals the shift in our podcast from being a higher ed podcast to being a food podcast. So, if someone finds themselves in Durham and is looking for a place to go for dinner, where do you think they need to go?
Hands down, the best restaurant in Durham is Dashi, which is a ramen shop.
Ooh.
They do omakase dinners and great cocktails, so you definitely have to check it out if you're ever in Durham.
There is something so great about excellent Japanese food. And
Yeah.
I love it as a suggestion. There was a place near our office when we were in Toronto, called Finn Izakaya, that kind of lived in that same neighborhood of just being a tremendous sort of omakase and ramen spot. And that those places really, they are special.
They really are. The Japanese know how to cook, and if you can find good Japanese food in America, it's a treasure.
Goodness, absolutely. Well, okay, I guess it's time for lunch. Hillary, it's been an absolute pleasure. I so appreciate you taking the time out here. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for having me.
This podcast is made possible by a partnership between Modern Campus and The Evolution. The Modern Campus Engagement Platform powers solutions for non-traditional student management, web content management, catalog and curriculum management, student engagement and development, conversational text messaging, career pathways, and campus maps and virtual tours. The result? Innovative institutions can create learner-to-earner life cycle that engages modern learners for life while providing modern administrators with the tools needed to streamline workflows and drive high efficiency. To learn more and to find out how to modernize your campus, visit moderncampus.com. That's moderncampus.com.